Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the day you've given us, Lord, for those that you brought here today and those who are joining us via Zoom. I just pray that you'll be with the service today, Lord. Just have your hand in it, Lord. Help us to think about the things that we're thankful for, Lord, the things that you've done for us that we can be thankful for and the things that you're going to do. Help us to remember that as we go through this holiday season, even though things might be different and things might not be the way they look, Lord, we still have so much to be thankful for. And I just pray that you'll be with Pastor as he comes to speak now. Just give him the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated.
All right. Good to see everybody today, and good to see the folks on Zoom. And we are turning the corner to getting ready for the final month of 2020. I can't wait to the new year. We have a lot going on. Tony's going to give some announcement near the end of the service about our Christmas tree giveaway next Saturday. Pray for the weather. But it's always a great thing to do for our community. Pass the word around. Share the stuff on Facebook. And then we get ready for our December 20th Christmas service, and then we end the final Sunday with a day of thankfulness and remembrance, and we might have some sharing, some folks can share some testimonies as we end the most unusual year in the history of my life, and I'm looking forward to 2021, and we need to pray, obviously, for the vaccine and that everything goes well there, and so we can put this behind us and get everybody healthy. So this was Thanksgiving week. I hope you enjoyed your time. We kind of shuttled family in at different times. We had the oldest daughter, son-in-law, and some of the kids over for dinner, and it went very, very well. And so it was good food and stuff. And then Greg and Chris joined us for dessert. Megan and Tyler joined us for dessert. And then they started leaving different groups or whatever. And I was telling Greg and Kristen about last week's message, how that, you know, that the more you're involved with somebody and the more you're connected to somebody, your wavelengths start getting on the same place. And you begin to understand and think how other people are thinking. And I said to my Greg and Kristen, so right now, it's about 5:30 after. I said, what am I thinking? And Kristen goes, you're thinking that it's about time for us to go home, right? And I said, wow, she got it really good. So, we had a wonderful time. I hope you did too. Now we get ready for all the festivities for Christmas, and we're praying for a great time here with our church. And I'm praying for a great 2021. We're going to kick it off in January with a new series, a new focus, and kind of turn the page and change in chapters and so. Today I want to talk about Thanksgiving and want to talk about gratitude. And Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because basically it's a day in which we stop and remember, and mainly in this country is where it comes from, what we have to be thankful for. Thankful for our freedom, thankful for our families, thankful for our church, for our religious liberty to serve God and to assemble as we desire to do. And we have so much to be thankful for. And always I love that holiday. I love the rest of them, but Thanksgiving has a special place. Even though when the Lions play football and lose, I'm not that thankful, which they lost bad this week. Anyways, but I want to talk about those two words, though. I want to talk about the word Thanksgiving, and I want to talk about the word gratitude, and that's where we're going to focus on today. Let me give you the first thought here. Is Thanksgiving is an abstract word. And what I mean by that, it is we say it many times in generic sense. I'm so thankful. I am full of thanksgiving. And many times we can associate it with things in our life, but it's an abstract word, which means we just feel thankful. Gratitude is a little different. Gratitude is a response to something that has been done for us. In fact, we get the word gratuity. When you go out for dinner and you give a gratuity, a tip, you're showing your appreciation for the service that you were given. And the fact that someone else was able to serve you and take care of your physical hunger needs. We get the word gracious from this in a sense. In fact, the root of the word comes from the word grace, which actually means this, is to show recognition or acknowledging what has been done for us. When someone shows grace to us and we show gratitude, it's simply acknowledging what has been done. It's something that is in a response to something, to a stimulus, to something that's been done for us. And it's a little different than Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving, although it can be used as the same word, that I'm thankful for what you've done for me, gratitude is actually doing something to show that we are thankful. It is a response to what has been done for us, and that's what I want to talk about today, because Jesus even talked about this and acknowledged the situation, and he pointed out some things about gratitude. But let me give you a first couple opening thoughts here that I think are important, because gratitude is very much involved in our relationships. First thought I want to give, when we withhold gratitude, we create gaps in relationships. You ever have anybody say that I don't do it for a pat on the back? I don't do it, you know, for glory of men or acknowledgement of men. And that sounds nice or whatever, but really, in all reality, it's not true. Because humans, we have a need to be acknowledged when we do something. Every relationship that I've ever observed or been in has a lot to do with the healthiness about how they show gratitude. If you're married, many times married couples can take each other for granted. And, you know, the wife or husband can do things or whatever to be able to show appreciation or show for the other person in the relationship. And if there's never an acknowledgement of gratitude, there's never a thank you, I appreciate what you've done, it can build a gap in relationship, because we need that to acknowledge in our relationship that there is an acceptance and acknowledgement that we are doing our best to please the other person. And that goes in all relationships. I've never been one to hold somebody accountable because they weren't showing gratitude, but it has hurt at times when you've done something for somebody, you made a sacrifice for somebody, you know, you did something to put them before you, and there's never a shot of gratitude. Many times it can be very, very hurtful, and it can divide you in your relationship. So I want to encourage you, whatever you have in your relationship, whether you're a husband or wife, whether it's, you know, children and parents, parents and children, workmates or whatever, make sure that you're always showing gratitude, because it helps to build a stronger bond between individuals. And this is something we teach our kids. Is when our kids, when our grandkids are over and somebody does something for our grandkids, parents and grandparents would normally say, "What do you say?" And we get them to understand, you say thank you. You show a gratitude, because nobody owes us anything. And if somebody is stepping up to really make a difference, to do something for us, we need to show gratitude. And that bonds the relationship, so learn to do that. Second of all, the expression of gratitude is more important than the feeling of gratitude. And what I mean by this is that many times people, you ever have somebody that you done something for, or they've done something for you, and somebody will say, "Well, you know, it'd be nice if you said thank you." And then they say this, "Well, you know, I appreciate what you do for me." Well, they've had the feeling of gratitude, but no expression. Gratitude without the expression, basically, if the feeling is there, it needs to be expressed. And many times, especially in a marriage relationship, over time it becomes to take in people for granted, and kind of in our minds saying, "Well, they know I appreciate what they do for me. They know, you know, that I appreciate the things that they do kindly for me and stuff." But an expression of gratitude is more important than a feeling of gratitude, because the feeling of gratitude unexpressed basically doesn't send any message. And the third point I want to make before I get into Scripture, ingratitude communicates that we don't recognize what has been done for us. Every one of us are in a place we are today because of somebody else. Everybody is successful today because of someone else. You'd like to think, and you hear this thing, "I'm a self-made person, you know, I've done it all on my own, and I didn't need anybody's help." But in all reality, wherever you are today in life, wherever you're going in life, other people are going to be involved in that situation. Whether it's our parents giving us a good upbringing, whether it's our friends supporting us when we're going to school, whether it's our spouse when we're trying to get that new education, to get that new job, sacrificing, taking care of the kids, is if there's no sense of showing gratitude, it's simply not recognized what's been done for us. And everybody that's living today is where they are today because someone else made it possible. So ingratitude communicates that we don't recognize what's been done for us. Now, Jesus talked about this. It's an unusual story. I want to kind of set it up a little bit here. Jesus, as you know, for 3.5 years of ministry, he was going around basically doing a lot of different great things, miracles. He gave sight to the blind, healed those that were deaf, those that couldn't walk, gave them the ability to walk. But there was one, I'm going to call it pandemic. There was one disease that was very, very relevant for the time that Jesus was on this earth. And that disease was called leprosy. Leprosy was a disease of the autoimmune system, which affected the skin. And somebody with leprosy was really not, you know, really good to look at. Their bodies were disfigured, and many times because of the scars they had and the scabs they had because of the skin disease they had, they end up being located in their own colonies. You know, this goes back to the way we used to do medicine years ago, whether it was mental illness or whatever. We used to seclude people from everybody else if they had a certain illness, a certain deficit in their life. Well, back then, what they would do when someone would get leprosy is they would cast them into their own colonies so that basically they could not infect anybody else. Every time a leper would be seen in the public arena and someone saw him, they were supposed to yell out, unclean, unclean, to notify everybody around them that this person is contagious and very deadly to you. They were people that were looked upon as the cast outcast because no longer part of general society. Well, Jesus got in trouble many times religiously because he went to the sinners' homes and he sat down with sinners. Remember the story there? He goes, why is he sitting around with sinners? He sat down with the tax collector, the worst of the sinners. People hated the tax collectors. He went all around the place and he was always ministering to people that really needed ministering to. He set the example of what the church should be. He says, I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save those that were sick. I came to heal those that were sick. And so Jesus had this exercise he would do quite often. And there was a time when he was traveling between the north and the south part of Israel. Judea was the south part. He would travel through the area of Samaria, which basically was a place where many outcasts were put. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago the Samaritans were half-breeds and very much disliked by the Jewish people because they were of mixed race. And as Jesus was coming across, he came across this colony. And instead of running from it, which is a great example, he ran to it. And he decided to make a difference in their lives. And it's always a great thing to see what Jesus would do when he heals somebody. But in this story, for the first time, he acknowledges gratitude and ingratitude. So let's read it together here. In Luke chapter number 17 and verse number 11 through 19, it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, as I said. He was going into a village, and 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, which was appropriate to do, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. I mean, when they see Jesus, he'd already had the reputation. He had already had the reputation of being someone they knew was making a difference throughout the known world at that time. And so these 10 individuals, mixed breeds of people, were out there, and they heard that Jesus was coming, and they met him, but they kept their distance because out of respect and out of understanding the culture of that time, they weren't trying to give anybody the disease or try to keep their distance. But when they saw him, they yelled out, and they acknowledged who he was. He says that he's master. He says, have pity on us. Now, the word pity is interesting because you may say it feels sorry for us. But the word actually has a connotation that have pity in action upon us. We know that you've done other healing. We know that you've done other great things. Would you mind taking some time to help us out of our situation? Let's go on from there. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, real quick here. When there was a miracle that took place or a healing took place, to be able to be accepted back into society, the person that was healed of a disease like this would have to go before the priest, and the priest would have to acknowledge they are no longer have that disease so they could be put back into regular society. It was a legal matter, it was a religious matter, but it was a matter in which they couldn't just have their body cleansed of this and then basically go back to society. They had to have permission to join back in the groups that they were in before. Also, Jesus doesn't say here that, listen, you are now clean. Look at your bodies. Go tell the priest. I think what was happening here is Jesus was simply saying, he says, listen, I want you to go tell the priest and show yourselves to the priest. And I think they're thinking to themselves, but if we go there the way we are, we're going to be in a bad situation because they're going to be upset of us because we came to them with this great disease. And what Jesus is trying to say, and as you step out by faith, and as you make your move to go show yourself to the priest, your bodies will be cleansed. It was an act that you must also cooperate. You must also trust what I'm saying. By the time you get to the priest, that you are going to be cleansed. And that was what he was saying there. He says here, here in verse number 14, the part of it, he says, and as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, and your faith has made you well. Now let's talk about this for a second, because there's a lot of schools of thought about this. The colony of lepers included all different nationalities. I mean, if you were Samaritan, if you were Gentile, whatever you might be, once you were in that had leprosy, you were cast into the colonies here. There are 10 individuals that Jesus says, I want you to go to the priest, and I want you to show yourself to the priest. Now, the timeline here doesn't say whether they all went to the priest and only one came back. Some think that basically it's 9 of them took off to go show the priest, but the one Samaritan stayed there, thank God, because basically as a Samaritan, he wouldn't really need to go to the priest because he was an outcast already. But I'm going to take it from the story here is that all 10 of them went to the priest. Because as they were going, when they were cleansed, the Samaritan wasn't cleansed until as he was walking towards the priest. I think all 10 of them got to the priest. And the priest acknowledged this great miracle, corporate miracle of 10 individuals that were cleansed. But when it was all done, 9 of them went back and just fit into society. The one came back, and he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he says basically, I thank you so much, I want to show gratitude to you. And Jesus says something here. He says, where are the other 9? And that's the statement. What he was saying, I did this great thing for them. They went to the priest and became healed. But where's the gratitude? It's one of the first times he actually acknowledges there's an expectation that if God does something for you, you need to show a physical example of gratitude. And the one came back, and God gave a special blessing upon that one. Let's go back to one of the opening statements I said before. An expression of gratitude is more important than a feeling of gratitude. Do you think the other 9 people were thankful? Sure. Do you think the other 9 people, when they got to their family's house, they wanted to say, we need to have a Thanksgiving dinner because I'm so thankful for what was done for me? Yes. But what Jesus is saying here, it's not enough just to have the feeling of gratitude, but you must express the gratitude to the one who made the change in your life. So we go back to this idea, is it important for us to show thankfulness to other people? Now, we should walk around needing to live our lives being thanked all the time, but I think it does strengthen the relationship. There's nothing greater than to be able to make somebody feel good because you recognize what they have done for you. We've gone out to dinner many times, and we always try to give a good gratuity. But I also, when someone services at a table, it's always thank every time they fill a coffee, every time they do something, it's a thankful, I appreciate it, because they're working to serve a need in which I requested from them. And even though I'm paying them, and I've heard people say, I don't leave a big tip because I'm already paying the restaurant. Well, first of all, you're not paying the servers because they make their money off the tips. And in the last year or so, many of us, even when we would go to the places where they had those family dinners, you know, you'd buy them for $25, I always gave a 25 or 30% tip, knowing that the workers that are doing it, even though they're not serving me a table, they are trying to make ends meet. And there's something about a sense of gratitude that's important. During this pandemic, we've noticed this a lot. When you drive home today, or if you're at Zoom today and you're taking a drive later on or whatever this week, notice how many homes have signs or businesses have signs saying thank you to our first responders. Thank you for those that are out there still doing the jobs. And to me, it breeds a healthy community when we show gratitude. During this pandemic, there are many that had to go to work, especially in the heat of this early on, not knowing what the outcome. You know, we're at the end of this thing now. I truly believe it. We got a vaccine coming, and everybody can have their opinions about it, but I'm taking the vaccine as soon as I can get it. And the thing about it is that during this time, we didn't know what was going to happen. We're coming to the end of the tunnel, and we're going to see some great things happen between now and probably April. And I think the country's going to get back together and stuff. But one thing I really loved about this, it made people show gratitude for what you've done for them. Sarah doesn't like me to talk about her, but I'll talk about her. She, you know, it's been hard because she's working at home and she's trying to homeschool a daughter, and Tony's no help, we know that. And so, but I can remember that it got a little discouraging, depressing. But I can remember, I think it was probably in April or May, she went around to each band member. She baked cookies for them, and she went around to each band member, each praise team member through the praise band and stuff. And her and Tony showed up, gave us their cookies, and just to show appreciation. Gratitude that many of us will come to practices and stuff like that and keep this thing going. And it makes a world of difference when we show gratitude. Being thankful is abstract. Gratitude is association, which means it's touching somebody's life. And I want to encourage us, as we just get done with Thanksgiving, is go beyond Thanksgiving and show some gratitude. Let me give you a few other thoughts here before I give you the walk away. First of all, unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. No one knows you're grateful for what they've done unless you actually express it. Ingratitude feels like rejection. Now, I've worked with a lot of married couples over the years, young couples, and there are many stresses on young couples that really put division between the two. The biggest stressor is usually money. We all know that. But the second biggest one after financial strains is, I've heard, I don't feel, what's the word? Appreciated. I don't feel appreciated. I do things and, you know, and I just don't feel appreciated. And we get this mindset that, you know, everybody has their duties in the house and stuff, and sometimes there's stereotypical ideas that the woman's role is this and the man's role is this, which are totally not true. I love vacuuming. I don't like washing clothes. I'm not very good at it because I shrink stuff and things turn pink. I don't know why. But in all reality, there needs to be a sign of appreciation, because ingratitude truly feels like rejection. And then the last one here, unexpressed gratitude may indicate an inflated view of self. And I put this one here for this reason. You ever meet somebody that, maybe it's an employer, and an employer or somebody in your life that you've done things for, and sometimes you go the extra mile because you feel like you do, you're wondering, do they appreciate it? And you do some more and they never show anything. Sometimes it's an inflated view of themselves, or they may even see it as a sign of weakness to say thank you. Let me tell you something. Where we are today, and I said at the beginning of this message, is because somebody else or others have made it it created the opportunity. Others have lifted us up. Others have supported us. Others had encouraged us. And we need not to have an inflated view of self, because wherever we are is because others have assisted us. In this church here, and let me just say this because on that line, we have a great church. And so many times, you know, as a pastor, you get acknowledged because you're the leader of the church. And I hope I've always expressed a thankfulness for everybody behind the scenes and in front of the scenes or whatever. But we could not do what we do on Sundays without people sometimes stepping out of their comfort zone or their discouragement or whatever and saying, I'm going to continue. I'm going to help. I'm thankful for everybody that comes in during the week and cleans up a little bit. I'm thankful for the folks that come in on Sunday morning and I get a slip knowing when I'm going to speak. And I'm thankful for the folks on the tech back there, the sound, on Zoom. You know, I'm thankful for the folks that actually are back there today, making sure you folks that could not be here, or maybe it's Thanksgiving weekend, you got family in, and maybe you're all sitting watching together, but they made sure things are operating. I'm thankful for those folks that put the words of the songs and the message on the screen. And we get back to normal operation. I'm thankful for all the workers in the nursery and stuff, because basically, Cornerstone Church, there's one pastor, obviously, and we have an assistant pastor, but we could not do without the fact acknowledging how many people need to be shown gratitude. And we truly do appreciate you. We truly do. Let me give you the walk away. And I wrote this way. The Samaritan showed gratitude by going back to the one who enabled him to move forward. That's important. The Samaritan was the only one that came back, but he came back to acknowledge the one who enabled him to move forward. Somebody has helped you and I move forward. So make sure you show gratitude and thank them. Maybe there's somebody in your life right now that you haven't thought about in years. Maybe there's somebody that helps you at the hardest time. And maybe what would be nice is to go home today and write a card to them and just write a card of thankfulness and gratitude for what they've done for you. Make sure that when you go out somewhere and someone's service helps you out at a restaurant or at a store, you show gratitude. Make sure, more importantly, and here's what I want to get to, it's funny how we probably are more inclined to thank a waitress or waiter than we are the spouse who also made the dinner. Because sometimes when we get close relationship, we take each other for granted. And some of that's not bad, because taking for granted means there's a little bit of comfort and a little bit of security there. But never take anybody for granted who's close to you by you thinking, I don't have to thank them, they know I appreciate them. An expression of gratitude is more important than a feeling of gratitude. So as we think about Thanksgiving, think about that, if you would, okay? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and just wanted to give a little talk today about gratitude. It's important for each and every one of us to show that. And if you're home today on Zoom, you see the message thing there from the Zoom where you can send a message to the administrator, to all. Maybe just thank the folks that basically have that running back there, because you're enjoying the church service today because someone is actually sitting there running that. So maybe you can say a thank you to them through the chat method on Zoom. You that are here, you see folks that have stepped up. We got folks out there in the hallways with security and stuff that are making sure that this place is always safe. Maybe thank them for it. Maybe thank those folks that over the years, they plant the mums, they put the decorations up here. Thank those that are involved in the music program, because we have a great music program. And not because they do it for that reason, but you know something? An expression of gratitude feels so good, and it's encouraging to the other people, and it strengthens relationships, because without it, you're going to have a gap. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless those folks that are here and those folks by Zoom for the simple message on gratitude and thankfulness, Lord. We thank you for this great country. We acknowledge that the pilgrims came here so many years ago, and they came looking for religious freedom and liberties, Lord, and they set up camp here, and they showed the first Thanksgiving dinner, Lord, and the thing is, they just wanted to take a time. They were thankful, and they were thankful because of the fact they had just gone through a tremendous, tough year. Many people died of diseases and starvation, and God, they were just thankful they got through that tough time. Like them, we're getting through the year 2020. I'm so thankful for those of us that stay together, stay focused, and really showed our love for one another, and continue to support each other in this church. I thank you so much. In Christ's name, amen.